This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah, we will be reading from verse number 71 of Surah Yasin, page number 436 of the Noble Quran that we've been using.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُّبِينٌ أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا خَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِمَّا عَمِلَتْ أَيْدِينَا أَنْعَامًا فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ وذللناها لهم فمنها ركوبهم ومنها يأكلون ولهم فيها منافع ومشارب أفلا يشكرون واتخذوا من دون الله آلهة لعلهم ينصرون لا يستطيعون نصرهم وهم لهم جند محضرون فلا يحزنك قولهم إنا نعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون أولم ير الإنسان أنا خلقناه من نطفة فإذا هو خصيم لنا مثلا ونسي خلقه قال من يحيي العظام وهي رميم قل يحييها الذي أنشأها أول مرة وهو بكل خلق عليم الذي جعل لكم من الشجر الأخضر نارا فإذا أنتم منه توقدون أوليس الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بقادر على أن يخلق مثلهم بلى وهو الخلاق العليم إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. My dearest mothers and sisters, the verses we've just read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains so beautifully how He has created various creatures, including mankind. So verse number 71 is a question where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do they not see that we have created for them from what our hands have made, grazing livestock, and then they are their owners. So there are certain creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are owned by other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humankind would notice that them being the highest of all creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they definitely have the upper hand, although the other creatures besides human beings have rights over the human being. So even if we own the cattle that are being spoken about in this particular verse, the cattle have rights over us. It's not just that we can do as we please to the cattle. Even if we would like to consume, for example, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted consumption, it is of utmost importance that we do so in a way that fulfills all the rights of those creatures. So we do not allow that animal to suffer or struggle, nor do we treat it in a fashion that is unacceptable. We must feed it properly, nor do we sacrifice it or slaughter it in a way that it is seeing the others, or the others are seeing what is happening to the one that is being slaughtered at that particular time, and so on. And when we use these animals, The rites have been made mentioned by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wherein even to till the soil or the land, we are not supposed to overburden the animals. Even if it is a donkey, for example, we are not allowed to overburden it in a way that it becomes taxing for that particular animal. Bear in mind to quench the thirst of the animal. Bear in mind not to put a load on that animal that is greater than the animal can actually take. Bear in mind not to make the animal work long hours such that it has had no rest. Bear in mind that the animal also needs a little bit of company. Amazing. So if you keep an animal singular, just alone, all on its own in one corner, imagine if that were to happen to myself or yourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to fulfill the rights of animals. So these are just some of the animals. If an animal is sick, it's important for us to try and ensure we do whatever is in our capacity to alleviate that particular suffering or the sickness of that animal. And all this is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the question being asked here is, does mankind not see that Allah has created meaning by Himself, He has created that which is within the cattle or the cattle itself, that which we then become the owners of. And what are the other benefits of that, of the cattle? Allah says, and we have tamed them for them. So some of them they ride and some of them they eat. Imagine not only the cattle, if we take a look at something broader, you have some animals that are actually wild. You have dogs, for example. It is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has allowed mankind to train dogs in a way that those dogs can go hunting, or those dogs can act as security dogs, you know. And this is all by the training that mankind gives the dogs, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed man to give. So this is amazing, because many times we take this for granted and we think, okay, it's our brain, it's our mind, like we said last week or the previous week, that amazing how mankind earns, and then he forgets that the one who gave him the brain to think of the deal that he has struck is actually Allah. So he says that, you know what, I am the one who struck the deal, so it was my intelligence, so it was my doing. Not realizing, well, okay, let's go one step back. Where did you get the intelligence from? Amazing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakah in our sustenance, and may He make us from those who can earn with ease so that we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a result. So my mothers and sisters, importantly, for us to take a look at all the gifts that Allah has given us, everything, and to consider the fact that this has come from Allah, and appreciate that, and then thank Allah for it, and let it be a means of you becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we are seated here, we have motor vehicles, we have someone who might have a motor vehicle who can make life easier for us to get from point A to point B. Do we not see that? Do we not think for a moment Allah gave man the intellect? That intellect was then used by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perhaps invent some form of conveyance that now has made life so easy for us, in a way that had we been living many years ago, we wouldn't even have known that this particular type of technology is going to come up. Allahu Akbar. Take a look at the mobile phones. Just today I was thinking that 15 years back we didn't even know that we would be owning the most important devices, and today someone sends me a message on WhatsApp saying that, do you know, have you ever read the permissions that WhatsApp requests from you? Well, go home and you'll get a shock. It says that WhatsApp has the permission to turn on your video without your permission, and to turn on your voice recorder without your permission. So if you're sitting and talking, it's probably videoing you and listening to you. It's possible. And that is all there, and we just press agree and we carry on and we're using it. MashaAllah, we have nothing to hide, but at the end of the day, it's privacy being invaded, but we do so happily because it outweighs the WhatsApp sometimes. And I'm just giving you one little example, but there are so many others. Allahu Akbar. I hope I haven't surprised you. However, getting back to, for example, the cattle themselves, if you look at the leather that we use, or the skin that is used to make leather to have the jackets and the handbags and so many other things, in fact even in the cars, the seats and so on, all this is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has blessed us with keeping such stuff in the particular or on the earth so that we can make use of it. This is why we've always said, my mothers and sisters, everything you have is from the earth. Today, whatever you have, your watch, your clothes, your perfumes, what else? Anything you're eating, anything you perhaps your motor vehicles, every single item, components, or the what it is made of, is all from the earth. It comes from the earth, and we need to thank Allah for having placed it on the earth in a way that we can modify it from one perhaps from one point to another, from one nature, from one point of that particular item to another. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to thank Him. And in order to thank Him, we would have to ponder over His gifts, because many times we don't even realize the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us because we haven't even thought of them. So Allah says, and we have tamed them for them, so some of them they ride and some of them they eat. And for them therein, there are other benefits and drinks as well. So will they not be grateful? Allah is making mention of milk, subhanallah, that which we take for granted. If you take a look at the color and the texture of milk, it is amazing where it comes from and how it looks and how what its properties are. The amount of nourishment that we get from a glass of milk, it's amazing, and yet we sometimes do not thank Allah for it, and we don't realize the amount of creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that have been used and what has happened in the entire process before we actually have got the milk. We just go to the shops, for example, and we just put a dollar. I hope it's actually a dollar or less. The last time I bought milk was a long time ago. Not to say I haven't drunk it, but perhaps I don't do the buying. So it's amazing how we just get it and we just drink and we just say, oh mashallah, pass the milk and get the milk and so on. But hang on, where did it come from? Have you ever thanked Allah? Bare minimum, read the dua before you drink the milk and after you drink it, to thank Allah, to appreciate the gift of Allah. And thereafter, try and obey the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show gratitude. The biggest way of showing gratitude to Allah is to leave prohibitions and to engage in instructions. That's the biggest way of showing the gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest act of worship ever can be simplified in one sentence to say, obey instructions, stay away from prohibitions. And the game is over. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. It sounds so easy, but it's a lifetime journey. And also we've got to obviously engage in lots of repentance, because as human beings we err and we make mistakes. So my mothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked a question. And He says, so will they not be grateful? Answer the question. May Allah bless us and make it easy for us to answer that question, inshallah. And may we be from amongst those who are grateful. So Allah says, but they have taken besides Allah false deities, that perhaps they would be helped. Allahu Akbar. People worship other things because they want help and success, and they want to achieve whatever they would like, not realizing the owner of that is Allah. If you want help and success, the owner of help and success is Allah. So Allah says, we gave them just the cattle is enough for them to think as to the gift that the Creator has bestowed upon them, but they still want to worship deities besides Allah in order that they may be helped and in order that they would perhaps achieve something. May Allah protect us. So Allah is warning us to say, look, part of ingratitude is when you worship anything besides Allah, even if in the process you are trying to achieve some form of help, assistance, or anything else. So Allah says, but they have taken besides Allah deities that perhaps they would be helped. And this sums up the main reason why people worship other items, whether it be the devil, whether it be the jinn, whether it be anything else, whether it be money, whether it be another person, whether it be a grave, whether it be a tree, whether it be anything or everything else within the creatures. A lot of the times it's just because people want some form of help. And Allah says the owner of help is Allah. Your test in your life is solely for Allah to put in front of you a certain need and to see whether you would worship Allah alone as a result and keep on crying to Him and asking Him, or whether there comes a boiling point after which you start worshipping things besides Allah, thinking that you are going to be helped by doing this and by doing that, whereas the only help can come from Allah. This is Surah Yasin, and this is the power of these words, where Allah is warning us and at the same time advising us, and at the same time making mention of the gifts upon us and giving us hope, and at the same time telling us, do not lose hope, because ultimately you have to return to me. Whether you got what you wanted in this world or not does not make you successful, but who you worshipped and how you worshipped him will definitely affect your success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success in the dunya and in the akhirah. So Allah says, they are not able to help them. Meaning mankind should know that these deities that they are worshipping will never be able to help them. And they themselves are for them soldiers in attendance. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will not be able to help themselves, nor will they be able to help them. لا يستطيعون نصرهم وهم لهم جند محضرون. These are soldiers in attendance. Let's take a look at what the footnote says. It says here, maintaining and protecting their gods. Another interpretation is that their gods will be soldiers set against them in hellfire. So two points of interpretation. One is, these gods that people are worshipping besides Allah, say for example the idols, they need to be looked after. The dust that settles on them needs to be washed or brushed off every day, or blown off every day, or dusted every day, and yet they call them gods. The people who are being worshipped besides Allah, dead in their graves sometimes, and they need, for example, the mercy of Allah themselves. Yet people would go to those graves. If there is a wild plant growing on that particular grave, it would need to be plucked out and weeded off. Yet the person in that grave who is unable to weed off or pluck off a plant on top of it is actually being worshipped as a god and a deity to get closer to Allah or to alleviate some form of suffering and so on. What foolish behavior. But people still do it. Imagine a little piece of grass, a little blade of grass growing from the top cannot be removed by the so-called God that is in the grave that is being worshipped besides Allah or to get closer to Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, worship me alone, no one else. Worship me. I am the owner of absolutely everything. So Allah is, all these verses are drawing our attention to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, they themselves are for them soldiers, meaning are for the deities that they are worshipping, soldiers in attendance, which means they look after the needs of these same creatures that they are worshipping. I recall there was a time when I was in India a long time ago, and there was a man who was literally being worshipped. The people kissed his feet and so on, and I have had a chance to speak to him, and I told him, why do you allow this to happen? He says, hey look, just leave them alone. I know that I'm not going to be able to do everything that they would like and so on, but let them at least, you know, respect me and so on. And a little while later the man died, and people did not even want to bury him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. And I'm thinking, this is the deity they used to worship. This is someone who allowed himself to be worshipped besides Allah, and wallahi he knew that this is wrong, and he knew that he was not a god, and he knew that he too had belly problems and digestive problems and everything else, yet they worshipped him as though that he could solve their problems. Amazing. Imagine, a man cannot protect himself from diarrhea, and at the same time people think that he can give them things that they don't have. Amazing. Get yourself sorted out. Get your belly sorted out first, then we'll talk. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. I had to use this lowly example for us to bring it closer to our minds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. He's given us a lot, and sometimes we are ungrateful by worshipping things besides him. Sometimes we even worship our wealth by allowing it to make us grow big heads and to make us think that we ourselves are the ones in authority and we can do things against Allah just because we've got the wealth and just because we've got. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us more humble with the barakah of the sustenance that he has granted us, in a way that it brings us closer to him rather than distance us from him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, before I carry on, the second interpretation of it is that these deities, some of the innocent deities we're talking about, would be bearing witness against those who worship them on the day of judgment. So if, for example, you take a look at Isa alayhi salam, Jesus may peace be upon him, being worshipped besides Allah, On the day of judgment, he will be asked a question, did you instruct these people to worship you and your mother besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he will say, no, not at all. He will bear witness against them. And the same applies to the sticks and stones and everything else that people are worshipping. Those people who did not want to be worshipped and they were still being worshipped, they will all bear witness against those who worship them to say, we never instructed this. This is what these people did and they were wrong. In fact, we worship you, O Allah. How could they worship us? So Allah says, so let not their speech grieve you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now obviously these verses were revealed at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the kuffar of Quraysh were the ones who were engaged in the biggest type of shirk, and they were the ones who were primarily addressed by these verses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, they used to utter a lot of bad words against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to this date, anyone who does any form of good work, there will be bad words uttered against them. And this is why sometimes your success is also gauged by the number of unjustified bad words that are uttered against you. So if you want to know whether you're a successful person, a lot of people sometimes would utter unjustified bad words against you. Thank Allah. To say, Ya Allah, at least people are acknowledging that I've done something right and I've done something correct. Because had we been nobodies and had we achieved absolutely nothing, people who were dormant completely, nobody would even utter one word for us or against us. Just look at those who are vagabonds on the streets asking, for example, begging all day, achieving absolutely nothing. People do not talk about them. The minute you pass your O-level exams, mashallah, and the minute you have, you know, you are now a little hafiz of the Qur'an at a very young age and so on, people start talking about, as you grow older, they start talking negative about you. Perhaps when you're young, they might still utter good words. And even when you're young, people start saying, oh, that man's, you know, this little child's mother, he thinks she's a big deal just because her child is this, and this child thinks he's big boots and so on, and that child thinks she's clever clogs and so on. All these words are uttered because they have been blessed by Allah. That's the reason. Now the moral of what I'm saying here is, let us not be from amongst those who utter bad words about others. Keep your mouth clean. Keep it clean. You would never know who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that would earn the wrath of Allah when we utter bad words about those. Allahu Akbar. So just protect your tongue and you'll be saved. A lot of the times people go through great difficulty and turmoil in life solely because it's a repayment of some bad rumor they spread with their tongues about some friend of Allah, and they had no clue that this was a close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They perhaps forwarded a WhatsApp message, or perhaps just pressed click on the send button and didn't know that that was the seed of their destruction forever to come. May Allah protect us, because they did not seek forgiveness from such. So this is why it's important for us to watch out what we say about others, because we never know their link with Allah. And even if they did not have such a powerful link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we still need to worry about what we say regarding others, because the tables can turn and we can suffocate much more than they ever have. And this would have been a result of our own doings and deeds. May Allah forgive us, and may He help us to protect our mouths, our tongues, and to protect our entire systems. Because today, even if your mouth is sealed with a tape, you can still continue backbiting through pressing the buttons and so on. And you know that I'm speaking about technology and the mobile phones and so on. May Allah protect us. So Allah says, so let not their speech grieve you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, we know what they conceal and what they declare. We know absolutely everything. This is also a lesson for all of us, to say, when people talk bad about us, do not let it grieve you. Don't let it grieve you. You know, if someone calls you a dog, does it mean you have a kennel? If someone calls you a dog, does it mean you chew on bones? What does it mean? Does it make you a dog? It doesn't. It's their perception. Perhaps they're blind. So don't let it grieve you. They can call you anything. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to digest words that others are uttering sometimes about us in a way that they get out of our system without even having affected us. So Allah says, does man not consider that we created him from a mere droplet of semen? Then at once he is a clear adversary. Allah is reminding us of our origins. Every one of us, more than a few years ago, we were not even in existence. Nothing to be made mention of. I was not known, neither as he, nor she, nor it. Not at all. No one knew I was going to come, and no one knew I was going to be here. And then when we come, we have a big mouth. Allahu Akbar. Basically, that's what it is. Literally, that's what is being said here. Allah says, don't you know you were made from a droplet of semen, from a little drop of sperm, and now you want to come and argue? Wow, that's powerful. That is powerful. And this is why sometimes, you know, when I read Surah Yasin, and through the day or a few days later or whenever else, and we notice, you know, people arguing and screaming and swearing and shouting, and I just close my eyes and I smile and I say, Ya Allah, this man needs that verse to be read and, you know, to be reminded that you were just a droplet of semen at one stage. Look at you. Look at you screaming today as though you're the top boss of the dunya. Allahu Akbar. Amazing. So Allah says, consider, remember your humble beginnings. Where did you start from? And this is why, watch your mouth. Be careful what you say. Don't be an adversary. Don't start arguing about Allah. You were nothing. And you're going to return to nil, to the soil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So these are some of the powerful verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last few verses of Surah Yasin, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies a very, very important matter. But Allah says in verse number 78, and He presents for us an example and forgets His own creation. He says, who will give life to bones whilst they are disintegrated? So man, he presents for Allah an example and he forgets that he himself was created from dust or from semen, depending on the various stages of creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at how man is asking a question. That who will give life to these bones after they have been decomposed? Yet man does not realize, but you were also nothing at one stage. So who are you to ask that question? How can you doubt that Allah is going to resurrect you when He made you in the first place? Simple. So this was a question that was asked at the time of Quraysh, and it is being asked today also by people who are perhaps much more highly educated in terms of the worldly matters, and they're still asking the same question, where they say, how are we going to be resurrected after our bones have decomposed completely into the soil? And Allah says, let's listen to the answer. Say, which means, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, respond to them by saying, He will give them life who produced them in the first place. And He is of all creation knowing. Allah knows entire creation. He who created you in the first place will give you life once again. And then Allah says, it is He who made for you from the green tree fire. And then from it you ignite. These are some of the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We could go into great depth regarding some of these gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but inshallah we will be brief. The idea is to translate and to extract a few benefits for us to implement within our lives and to learn from the message of the Quran. So Allah says, is it not He who created the heavens and the earth? Or is not He who created the heavens and the earth able to create the likes of them? Yes, it is so. And He is the knowing, the creator. If Allah created the heavens, the earth, and everything else, is He not able to create something similar or recreate if He wills or do whatever He wants? He can. So Allah makes, Allah is the creator. Ask Him, call out to Him, He will respond. And believe me, if Allah has not given you something, it is because He knows that it was best for you not to have it. This is something that a lot of us find difficult to accept. We want, for example, $1 million, and we work so hard. And every time we reach 900,000, we start dropping back. Allahu Akbar, wow, that's a big figure, mashallah. Thank Allah for that. Allahu Akbar. Never get to 1 million. And we say, but Ya Allah, I was right there. Allah says, we know it's not good for you. That's why we're not giving it to you. But your mind, your system is human. So human systems are well beyond the system of Allah subhanahu, meaning well below the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a way that we will never understand certain, in fact, a lot of the divine wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to accept. And this is what Iman is all about. To accept the decree of Allah. Allah says, you try whatever is in your capacity. Whether or not I give it to you, my decision. My decision, totally. And if you accept that it's my decision, that's the day you get happiness and contentment. And that's the day you lead a life enjoying what Allah's given you. and subhanAllah, thanking Allah that He has perhaps kept certain things away from you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with our needs, and may He make us from amongst those really who can achieve what we want, and may He keep away from us that which is detrimental for us, whether we like it or not. Alhamdulillah, ameen. So Allah says, say, He will give them life who produced them in the first time, in the first place, and He is of all creation knowing. It is He who made for you from the green tree fire, and then from it you ignite. Is not He who created the heavens and the earth able to create the likes of them? Yes, it is so, and He is the knowing creator. His command is only when He intends a thing that He says to it, be, and it is. Allah just says, be, and it is. Anything you want that seems so impossible, just remember for Allah, أَمْرُهُ بَيْنَ الْكَافِ وَالنُّونَ His instruction is between a kaf and a noon. Be, and it is. Kun. So we ask Allah to say that kun for us as well, to create the miracles for us, because for Him it is something minor and simple. So this is why Allah says, His command is only when He intends a thing that He says to it, be, and it is. And the last verse of this powerful surah, Allah says, so exalted is He, high is He, in whose hand is the realm of all things, absolute control of every single aspect of existence. And to Him you will all be returned. So this is Allah, this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single one of us, no matter how powerful we are, we will still return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My mothers and sisters, we pause here for a few moments, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for the times when we have not recognized His power in our lives, when we have not acknowledged His gifts, the gifts that He has bestowed upon us. Mankind's weakness is that we concentrate on matters that are negative, forgetting all the positives. We concentrate on matters that are perhaps not as we would like them, not realizing that that's the way Allah likes them. Allahu Akbar, our Maker, our Creator. Some people, subhanAllah, some people are very, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what happens to them, they say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Allah, ala kulli hal. We praise Allah upon every condition. You have this condition, Alhamdulillah. You've broken a tooth, Alhamdulillah. This happened, Alhamdulillah. You suffered a loss, Alhamdulillah. There was a prophet that came in your direction, a prophet as in some form of gain, Alhamdulillah. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything. Let's not be so weak that we only concentrate on negatives. And let's not be upset with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People sometimes become angry with Allah. Astaghfirullah. Yet they don't realize, my brothers and sisters, I want to give a little example before we end today. Have you ever witnessed the cattle when they move through a dip tank in order perhaps to cleanse them from some form of sickness or to prevent a disease and so on? There is a tank, a dip tank, and the cattle walk through it. And as they go into this dip tank, and they walk out the other side having dipped part of their, perhaps a part of their bodies, maybe the legs and so on, into the, or the hooves maybe, into this dip tank, and they walk out the other side. That is the example of this world. Every one of us is just passing through the dip tank. This dip tank takes a short period of time, perhaps a few years, 70 years, 60 to 70 years on average. So what happens? When we get into the dip tank, we have to come out of the dip tank. And when we get into the dip tank, some of us become a bit cozy because the water is warm and we're feeling nice and, you know, everything is, wow, beautiful. So now we don't want to come out of the dip tank. But real life is outside the dip tank. It's not in the dip tank. So this life that we have is very temporary, very, very temporary. And if it was the everlasting life, it would have been much longer than this. This life is very, very short, subhanAllah. So this is why, remember that we are only here for a few moments.
just for a few moments. Do not let this worldly life deceive you. The beauty of it, the sweetness of it, the scent of it, the lovely people you might meet in it, don't let them make you do that which will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, you will become a little bit comfortable in this dip tank, because 60-70 years to us is quite a long period of time, but if you take a look at it relatively, so many billions have come into the dunya and passed without them even being known today. Nobody knows who they were, a lot of them. Not even worth mentioning. Allahu Akbar. Each one is worried about himself. So this is why in my short stay, during my time in this particular little dip tank, I will walk through it in a way that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking Him for whatever He's allowed me to enjoy as I was in here, and asking His forgiveness for whatever I may have trampled upon in terms of doing that which is not permissible or perhaps prohibited or frowned upon. May Allah forgive us all, in a way that when we come out of that dip tank, we will achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Mothers and sisters, a few more minutes remaining, but I wish to close a little bit earlier by making mention of something, inshallah, that you will be receiving in a few moments. During a recent trip to Makkah al-Mukarramah, we managed to bring for you, for each one of you, inshallah, a little bit of zamzam and some dates. So I hope you can at least enjoy that, make dua for us. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this opportunity. Like you know, we started in September 2000, and now we are sitting in 2014, perhaps 13 and a half years later. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to go strong with this particular session, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us grow in His obedience and to help us learn the words of His in a way that He can guide us, and we search for that guidance and ask for the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and work towards it. So we ask you to pray for us. Also, it seems like it's a beautiful day out there. Perhaps it might be raining. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the best of weather. And perhaps we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also to grant us rain that is beneficial, protect us from rain that will be harmful and detrimental. You and I do know that in this country we have perhaps some of the best weather in the whole world, and we thank Allah for that. We should not become forgetful of that, even though some of the days are a little bit warm. But to be honest with you, 34 degrees as a maximum is absolutely beautiful weather if you take a look at other countries that hit 50. And if you take a look at the minimum daylight weather perhaps of about 15, is absolutely awesome when others go to minus 15, minus 20. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever He's blessed us with. Let's think of these good things and let's make the most of it. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.